turn my microphone on. So, my own, there we go. All right. What's going on, everybody? No, but they're going to try to record me. Oh, man. Okay. Hey, so I want to pray one more time. You guys pray for me. I'm going to pray for y'all. Man, I'm struggling with all kinds of sinus and head stuff going on. I sound funny. My ears, everything's sounding kind of funky. It's been a rough weekend. Oh, man, I missed you guys Sunday, though. I watched online. It was fantastic. I know God's got a word for tonight, and so my prayers, I want you guys to pray for me. I'm going to pray for y'all to hear it. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight, Father. I lift you up tonight, Lord. I want my prayers that your word goes forth, that they hear you, Father, not me, that they hear your word, God. Lord, your word pierces hearts, God, and does what it does, Father. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room, Lord, that they would hear it, that they would grab a hold of your word tonight. I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, we're talking about training for reigning. Training for reigning. Come on, we're talking about, you know, when we train, just as a recap, we're training for what God has ahead of us. You know, a lot of times we don't know. Most of the time we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't, right? And so it's important that we are developing and we're training and we're preparing for what's ahead. And that's it. And just like physically, we try to better ourselves so we can be healthier in the future. Same thing spiritually. We got to develop ourselves spiritually and train for what God has for us. I mean, Paul talks about working out our salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, he says, listen, we got to work this thing out. It's a development thing. It's a thing that we've got to train constantly. Read the Word of God, studying it, developing up our faith, because I'm telling you, God's got major plans for us. And that's what Paul's saying. He goes, we've got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And, you know, a lot of times that we think about the working out and everything with salvation, but the next part says with the fear and trembling. You know, a lot of times when we work out and we're developing our faith and we're hearing things, it's not always easy to take in. A lot of times that meat isn't the easiest thing to digest because it's corrective, right? And sometimes those words, they kind of, it's a little challenging to take in. Amen? Sometimes it's because it's corrections happening. And that's why I think Paul's saying, listen, fear and trembling, because we got to go at this thing being full-hearted, because it's gonna be hard sometimes, okay? You know, I remember one time with this one guy, with this other trainer I had, he went in, and I kind of was up. We already talked about my very first trainer that I had, a little lady, you know, we talked about that, and that horrible experience, and her telling me evil things, horrible things, cut out some stuff, stop eating stuff. It was horrible. All kinds of negative garbage. It's horrible. And so this, I get this other trainer. He's a bigger fella. I'm like, okay, now this guy can really train me, okay? And it was horrible. And so he goes and he starts showing me some stuff. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I'm going to be sore. This is going to be good. And then he goes to this one little itty-bitty workout, this little exercise. And I'm thinking, okay, this thing really isn't going to do a whole lot for me, but whatever, I'll try it. There's no weights involved. It was a... Where's a little? Nah, I can't use the stool. I fall over. It was so. If you can imagine, like standing on a ledge with my tippy toes on the ledge, and it was just a simple exercise, just stepping on your tippy toes. That's all it was. And I'm like, okay, that's easy. And he says, okay, do this a couple times, and then do this a couple times, you know, in and out, and then do it by one leg. Okay, a couple times, one at a time. I get done, and I'm thinking, okay, I felt that, but really, what is that going to do? I could not walk the next day. Literally couldn't. Ask my wife. Amber was laughing her head off at me because it was so bad. We had a huge youth event planned the next week, that weekend. I had to cancel it because I couldn't get up. Literally could not walk. It was horrible. So talk about painful. Because you know when we're training and we're developing, sometimes those things are a little painful, and we got to digest it. Come on, amen. And that's what we got to look into the Word of God and say, God, teach me, train me, correct me, whatever it takes, develop this. And that's what we got to have, that mindset of training. And no matter what, where it takes us, to be diligent in our studies and diving into it. Amen? And so we talk about training for reigning. We talk about four part is we're developing our vision. Amen. Why are we training? It's for vision, for what God has for us. Amen. And we have to have that vision, to something to drive for, okay, to go after. People without a vision, people will perish. And Habakkuk says to write down our vision, make it plain. And so we talked about that, and then we talked about reigning, walking in victory through our journey, through this development, walking with our head up, the hard times, good times, laughing through the pain, even when you can't walk and you got slapped upside the head by the pastor when he's preaching on the pulpit. And you just like that, and you try not to be offended, but you're still walking. You're kind of offended by it, but you're still, it's okay. You just hold your head up. Come on, you're walking through it. You're developing your faith. Come on, amen. You're reigning, you're walking through it. Training for reigning. You know, it's funny how our journey will take us, good times, bad times. But tonight I want to talk to you about vision. I want to go back there. Is we need to know what we're going after for direction, okay, to training for, all right? And we need to develop that vision. And I want to talk about that tonight is vision development. I want to talk about that tonight and next week. So we've got two nights with you this week, this month. And tonight I want to talk about vision development. Because it's important that we develop that vision that God has for us. We're working with that vision and really seeing it coming into light in our lives. We talked about a little about writing it down. Okay, but I want to dig into that a little bit more. Because I want you to see that vision. I want you to give birth to a vision. I want you to be able to be running after a vision that God's given you. Amen? So I want to look at something. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. I want to look at two stories tonight in God's Word. So bear with me. I'm going to be coughing and sneezing and making all kinds of sounds. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to read just the first three verses there. Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So Jesus was preaching on the shore and then saw a boat that was available. He got in the boat. It happened to be Simon's boat, and asked Simon to go ahead and put out a little bit so he could preach from it. Now, I want to paint the picture of the story now of this situation. Simon had been fishing all night. Okay, he had been working all night fishing, so he's tired. Okay, he's been doing what he's called to do. It's what he's taught to do, doing what he normally does, cleaning out his nets, and the boat was there at the shore, finishing up, wrapping up the day. He was focused on what he was doing, but his boat was there, and he was there, and Jesus was there, and Jesus saw the boat that was available. He got into that available boat. Yeah, I look at that, I think about that boat, and the boat probably wasn't that nice and shiny of a boat. I don't picture that boat being very fancy. I see that boat kind of wooden, some tar, some nails hanging out around it, kind of rough. And I don't see it being a very big boat. I don't think it was a big boat. I think it was a smaller boat. I really was honestly wanting to find a boat to preach out of today. I was actually asking around because I was going to have a boat. I really wanted a boat. I really did. But I couldn't find one, so there you go. And so it was a rough rough little boat. It wasn't fancy spancy. And it didn't have a nice little podium for Jesus to get on and preach behind. It didn't have a nice big sound system for Jesus to use. It didn't have nice little decorative flowers like that for him to stand in front of. It was rough around the edges. In fact, the owner of the boat, Simon, he was kind of rough around the edges too, wasn't he? See, in fact, a couple of scriptures down the way it talks about him actually being a sinner. So Simon was a sinner. His boat was rough. It wasn't all nice and glamorous. It wasn't shiny. It was small. It wasn't designed for a preacher to get up and stand in front of and be all together. Okay? It smelled like dead fish. It didn't have padding for Jesus to sit on. It wasn't all glamorous. And then you got the owner of the boat who had all kinds of issues. He had anger issues. He had temper issues, language issues, all kinds of problems. He was a mess. So it really wasn't this picturesque moment that you would think that would happen, you know, because, you know, we want to make sure things are perfect and nice and moment, but Jesus was like, I don't care. I need this at this moment. And see, Simon in his boat was available. I want you to write this down. We got to be available. Be available. See, it's not about the boat. It's not about the way our status is, where our position is, and where we're at in life. It's about being available. You know, a lot of folks in the church, oh, here we go. They got some shiny boats. Oh, they got some shiny ones. And they love to come in the church and they shine them suckers up, boy. They got some nice ski boats, jet boats, all kinds of big old yacht boats, man. And they shine them good. They got them nice and clean. Ooh, they look pretty. But the moment somebody needs to use that boat, oh, I got something going on. I'm sorry. I got to hurry up and get over. I'm here just to listen to the message and then I need to go. I need to just go on, and I've got this to do. I've got that to do. Come on. That's what we talked about at the very beginning of this series. That's those folks that are kind of all puffed up, that try to pretend to be and put on a show. There's a lot of folks in the church just like that, that they come in and they want the boats all shiny, want everybody to see the boat shiny. But the moment that Jesus wants to get up on that boat, boat ain't available. They're too wrapped up with work, too wrapped up with this, too wrapped up with that, and it's not available. See, we want to develop our faith and we want to work this thing out. But the thing is if we're not available, you ain't working nothing out. Come on, we got to be available. Got to be available. I want to look at another story about someone that was available in the Word of God. Oh, look at Steve. Oh, Acts chapter 6. Let's go there. Ooh, I love Steve. I want to read a few things about him. Let's just read about Stephen. Verse 5, chapter 6, Acts chapter 6, verse 5 is where I want to start. Is that here? Acts chapter 6, verse 5 is where I want to start off with. This is kind of giving a description of Stephen. Okay? This is where we're talking. It gives a description about Stephen. It's incredible. It says, this proposal pleased the whole group, and we'll talk about the proposal in a second. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, several others. Okay? They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Come on, amen. Verse 8 says, now Stephen, come on, a man full of God's grace and power, so he's full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of grace, full of power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. So there's this anointed man of God. He is full of faith, full of power. He is, he is a man's man. Come on, he is powerful. He is anointed. He knows his stuff. Let's find out what they ask him to do. He's a man of God. He's full of the Holy Spirit. This is what they ask him. Verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on Peter. What? So then they got the group together and they found the 7 guys to go and wait on Peter. So they asked Stephen, a man of God, anointed, powerful, wait on Peter. I've been in ministry for quite a long time. You know how many times I've heard this? That's not really my call. That's not really my gift. I really don't feel that area of ministry. Okay. Then you just go and sit back down. Been in ministry for a little bit of time, you know, that's not my area of ministry. That's just not my calling. Oof. Stephen was available, and he didn't care what he did. He just wanted to be available. And the moment Jesus says, I want to give you hope, he said, let's do it. Whatever you want. Let's do it. You want me to serve tables? I'm going to serve tables. You want me to vacuum the floor? I'm going to vacuum the floor. You want me to scrub the toilet? I'm going to scrub the toilet. Come on. Hallelujah. Pastor, we got some rough stories about restrooms. Oh, cleaning restrooms. Oof. Don't even get me started. Holy moly. It's amazing. Quickly become unavailable with the things that we don't feel like it's something that we're supposed to be doing. Jesus below us. Well, I'm above that. I'm more experienced than that. That's not really my area. I'm not really the one to buff tables. Yeah. You mean when you preach? I'll preach. I'll get up there and I'll do that. You mean to sing? I'll sing. I will sing. You don't want me to sing, but I'll sing. Oh, you want to play my instrument? I will play my instrument. See the thing that happened with Stephen. I love this story so much because there was so much humility there. There was so much availability that Stephen, his heart didn't care what he was doing. Because it wasn't about a position. It wasn't about a title. It wasn't about prestige. It was about serving the King of Kings. And Jesus stepped up in his boat and says, can I use this boat? I need this boat to serve some tables with. Can you serve some tables? Because, see, these disciples over here, I need them to go over here, and they're going to start spreading the gospel over here. But I need you right here, right now. I know that it's
sounds nice to go to Africa, and that's great. I need these other disciples to go over there right now. And I need you to serve right here at this moment in time. I need you to do this. I need you to, this is an area that is a needful thing. And I need you to use your boat for this. Stephen said, yeah, let's do this. What happened? Verse 8 says, now Stephen, this is already after they've asked him, so he's already in it. He's serving tables now. It says, what happens? He's serving tables. He says, Stephen, a man of full of grace and power, performed great wonders, signs among the people, serving tables. Praying for people to serve. Loving them. Performing miracles. Signs, wonders were happening while he was serving tables. He was impacting lives while serving tables. He was impacting lives, man. And he stirred up such a noise because he was being so impactful that the religious folks saw it and didn't really care for it. I bet you he served one of their tables and he didn't like them telling them how wonderful and how good God was and how joyful it was, how good God is. And I bet you they kind of got upset how he was so outspoken about his faith and the love for the Lord he had. And how much joy he was having by serving tables. The joy of the Lord is all over him. We're going to see that here in a few minutes in another verse. He was joyful. It was all over his face. And he made some religious folks take it off. And so they got him. They got to the Sanhedrin. And they pulled him out. Got a hold of him. They got him in front of the Sanhedrin, and they're just starting accusing Stephen all kinds. They start twisting the stories. They start lying. And they're just blasting. And here's Stephen just listening. All these lies. And just, look at verse 15. I love this. It says, so while all they were, it says, all who were sitting there in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen. So they were looking at him while they were, all these people were accusing. And he says, they saw his face like an angel. Just joy. Because he didn't care about positions. He didn't care. He just knew he was still available. He knew Jesus was all up in his boat. He knew where he stood in his feet. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. He was just available. I love that. Come on. He was just available. So Stephen goes on and gives this incredible speech. I want to go back and read it. Chapter 7. He gives these guys a history lesson like nobody else. I mean, he is slapping them upside the face with the Word of God. He is telling them what for. And then he goes on in verse, let's see, where the verse is. It goes verse 54. No, verse 51. He's like trying to wrap up, right? After he's like blasting them, right? He's like telling them all about God. He's preaching to him. He's telling him about Jesus. I mean, he's like, he's going off. It's incredible. Then he goes off. He goes, you stiff-necked people. I don't think they're looking at him now as much as an angel anymore at this point. They started getting cross with him big time. And he says, you stiff-necked people. Your hearts and your ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Come on. And then it says, when the, I want to read this last part here, verse 54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And when he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against him." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. Through the whole thing, he was like, "Jesus, this is your boat. You do your thing. I get these guys are sinners. Don't hold them against me. My boat's available. Doesn't clearly say it, but this is what I believe, so you can take this however you want. This is my belief, is that Saul was there, and this is the first mention of Saul in this story. It says Saul was a witness to this, and in verse 1 of chapter 8 says Saul approved of their killing of him. Saul approved it, and Saul, just one chapter over in chapter 9, God gets a hold of him and wrecks his world. See, I believe what happened here in this moment, I believe there was some seed being sown into Saul. I believe he was hearing this. And so what happened when he was on that road, when God struck his eyes blind, see, I believe he was able to hear the word of the Lord because he had been hearing the word of the Lord. He had been hearing it already because it came out of Stephen's mouth. Come on. See, Stephen had no idea what was taking place down the road. Stephen knew, he had no idea why he was waiting tables, but all he knew and was concerned about was, "I would just want to be available." Because see, Saul went on to become Paul, changed his name to Paul, and Paul began to write 13 books of the Word of God. Come on, and changed the dynamics, man. I mean, it was incredible the move of God that he was used in. Amen. Paul is talking about this, working out our salvation in Philippians. What if Stephen said, "Yeah, I'm a powerful man. I'm more anointed than that. Won't you get me out there with those disciples? We go out there on some mission trips. That's where I feel I'm supposed to be on the platform." See, I believe there was strategy. God put that place even right in those moments and times for the word to flow and develop and sow that seed into Saul. I'm telling you, you have no idea the big picture. The heartbeat, guys, of getting and developing a vision for our lives is being available. Because see, if we're not available for the Lord to move in our lives, we're going to miss it every time. We get so caught up with life, and we get so caught up with politics, we get so caught up with a hoopla of the world, we can miss being available for the Lord. I understand this vaccine thing, I understand the COVID thing, and we need to make sure we're making decisions and making the right decisions, but we can't get so caught up with that we're missing being available for what God has right in front of us to do and be effective right here, right now. And I get those are important decisions. I know we got to make them. We're all in that spectrum right now. We're all making decisions and praying of what we've got to do. I get that. But we can't get so wrapped up with all that. We can't get so wrapped up with the politics. We can't get so wrapped up with churchy stuff. We can't get so wrapped up with the racial hoopla. We can't get so wrapped up with the city garbage. Come on, we got to focus on what God is wanting to do right here, right now in our lives. And it's so important that we are so available for God right now in this season in our lives. We got to become so available for Him. So when He wakes us up in the middle of the night, we're saying, "God, what do you want to say?" And it's okay, grab your phone, write down some notes, whatever. Man, I'm telling you, be available for God to speak. Have your hearts, "God, I'm available, whatever you want to do for me. I know I've got some rough edges. I know I've got my boat don't look the best. But God, use me anyways. I don't care what it is. If it means I'm gonna bust some tables, I want to be available. If it means me to minister to the guy at the gas station, I want to minister to the guy at the gas station. I don't care what they look like. God, I want to be available. Get in my boat. Stay in it. Do what you need to do. We've got to be available. Because if we're not available, I'm telling you, we're just going at this thing playing patty cake. I don't want to play patty cake. I want God to use this vessel in any possible way. I know I got some rough edges. I know I'm not perfect. I know I got some flaws. But my God, I want to be available. And that's my prayer with this church, man, is that we are available for God to move in our lives, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. I want to be available for whatever that is. I want this developed. I want to be ready for everything that God has for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to be available. So talking about developing your vision, that's the first thing I want you to grab a hold of. I mean, we've got to be available. Next week, I want to go into Luke more. What happens next in that book? Just this incredible. We know the story. Go ahead and read it again this next week. Dive into it. I want us to see what the Lord speaks to you. See what happens when we come back and dive into this again. We're going to stay in with Luke a little bit more. I've got you one more. I think I got one more Wednesday night, and then we're going to go the following Wednesday night to the 18th. We're going to do masses, yeah. And then we got food bank. And then next month, I've got some special guest speakers you don't want to miss. It's going to be incredible. So excited. We got to be available, guys. Pray. When you're reading God's word, God, make me available. Make me available. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing. You know, we get through life, and we're going through things, and we go, and, you know, you guys going to New Mexico. That's awesome. Good getaway. That's great. Be available wherever we're taking. Simon was doing his thing. Come on. It wasn't wrong what he was doing. He was available, though. He was available. Stephen was available. And look what God did in both of their stories. He turned it around. Wow. Father, we love you. Lord, I want to be available for you, God. I want to be so available for you, God. Lord, I pray that my mind isn't cloudy. Lord, decisions that we make, that there's a full clarity, full peace, God, and direction, Lord. My heart, our heart has to be about being available for you, God. Get in our boat. Stay in our boat. Use our boats, Father. Whatever they look like, use us, God. Shiny boats, rough boats. Young boats, old boats, whatever, Lord, use us, Father. Big boats. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for this body, Lord. I lift up everybody tonight. Lord, I pray you to strengthen everyone in this room, God, as we go home, Lord. Be with the Thomas family, Lord, as they go through this time, Father. We lift them all up to you, Jesus, in this time of mourning. And I pray for peace over them and rest over them, God. And we just lift up the entire family to you, Father. We love you, and we thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah.